Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a huge impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan, and joining us today, our first guest, is my good friend Cheryl Jackson, the CEO and founder of Minnie's Food Pantry. How are you doing, Cheryl?
I'm doing fantastic, Chris. How are you?
I am just absolutely wonderful and so glad to get you on because the month of March, which is International Women's Month, has been absolutely amazing for you personally and deservedly so. And the month is ending with the Final Four. The NCAA Women's Final Four is going on at the American Airlines Center in Dallas. And you've been a part of that with a nonprofit way. Can you explain what's going on that end?
Oh, it's so phenomenal, Chris. So there is this, there's a company that does this thing with the top 20 charities in North Texas, and it's a Final Four March Madness for nonprofits. So they take the top 20 charities, and every week, people vote on against each other, which charity is the best, from the American Heart Association, The Bridge, Vogel Alcove.
Are you saying they got charity brackets?
They got charity brackets, Chris, and Minnie was a part of the charity bracket when it started. Just to be in the same sentence with a lot of these nonprofit organizations just really makes me happy, because North Texas Food Bank, you know, all of these are the big guns, mm-hmm. right? And then you got little old Minnie. I feel like David versus Goliath sometimes, you know, but because these other nonprofits are the ones that I watch for years and saying one day I want to be like them. And now we're in the final bracket and Minnie's is standing tall. We're one of the final two that's left. And it's just, I'm so giddy about it right now, Chris. You know, it's amazing. And the top nonprofit, then they receive a donation. But really, it's just about the bragging rights.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? It's fun. So, it's brackets.
Yeah, it is. It is brackets. We were up 73%. Now we're down like we were at 73%. Now they've come up 53%. But, you know, I got some for them, Chris.
Oh, yeah.
I got some for them. I'm going to pull it out, I hope, in the end. But it's just fun. It's exciting.
It is very exciting. And again, the month of March has been exciting for you in particular. That's why I'm glad, even though the month just ended a day or two ago. I mean, this is this weekend. It seems like it's still March because it's been such a whirlwind. And let's go back to a couple of weeks ago where you were honored by the state of Texas legislature. Can you talk about what happened and what went down and when you found out about it?
You know, Chris, thank you for asking. It was amazing to me because I had no earthly idea that they were planning on doing it until the representative contacted my office. And they just basically say, we see you. We've seen the work that you've done, you know, to honor your mother and then all the work that you've done in our community. And we want to highlight you on the floor. And I'm like, you want to highlight me, little old me? And they were like, yes, we want to do a proclamation and a resolution for you on the floor that will stay in the state's books and history books forever. And I said, wow. And I just, tears just began to flow down my face. And that's what they did. You know, they went on the floor and they did the resolution stating that we've done our 23.5 million meals and counting. They honored my mother's name and the work that all of my volunteers that have come together to make this place and space that's so special called Minnie's. And I was very, very humbled by it.
It was amazing. So they made a proclamation. Can you talk about what was your day like down there? Because you paint such great pictures. I want to be able to share properly with all of our listeners.
Absolutely. The day started off me going into one of the senator's office, Senator Plas- Plisa is how you say her name. And they welcomed me there to the house. And then she told me about why this was her first ever resolution that was pushed through for her to be able to do one. So the mere fact that she mentioned our name, and then I was just like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So she mentioned our name and then they approved her doing the resolution. And what I later found out is sometimes when you do resolutions, there are people who come against them, and not one person came against what she wanted to create on that house floor.
Nobody blocked it? Are you saying nobody blocked
it? Nobody blocked it. I was like, they would block me doing good. And she was like, you would be surprised, you know? And she said, but they all came together. And then, you know, as she stood there, just speaking about the work of Minnie's and my, talking about the legacy of who my mother was, I mean, Chris, I was just literally in tears. I was hoping and praying. You know, my mother passed away Mother's Day weekend. And so we're leading up to that time. And it, I just had so many fond memories of my mom and what she taught me. And I was just thinking, Mom, your legacy will live on. And then grateful for all of the volunteers that we've had. Over 25,000 in the last years plus have volunteered and come through our doors. And they've had made this space special. And then to see other senators and representatives stand behind her, you know, Matt Shaheen and all of them standing behind her and waving at me and saying, we see you and we honor you. It was just amazing. And then, you know, sometimes they'll do a resolution on the floor, but it will not get put in the books. But this one, someone made the motion that it get put in the books for history. And everybody approved the motion. And I just, you know, Chris, I can't even, I don't have words for that day. And I just kept walking back and just looking all around me at the Capitol and said, never in a million years, you know, would I have thought that I would be in this place. And we started our first, we served our first meal April 1st. So it'll be 15 years.
Wow.
And I was just thinking, what started with two cans of corn and just a hope to change a life. But we've changed, you know, hundreds of thousands of lives, and I'm grateful for it. And we've had great supporters.
And so well deserved. I mean, I know it's been like a blur, but did you celebrate at all? Did you go out to dinner? I mean, what was the rest of the day like?
The rest of the day was like that. I left I literally left out and just sat there at the Capitol and just looked. I watched the flag flying and I just looked and I cried and I just kept saying, I never thought I would be here. Never thought I would be here. And my family had came down. So we actually went and had a meal together. And I just said, can you believe, you know, your grandmother's name is in the history, Texas history books. You know, it wasn't even about me. My mother had a nonprofit, and she would, on her mother's deathbed, she said, Mom, I want the world to know your name. And when her mother died, that was one of the reasons I started Minnie's, because I saw the love that my mother had for her mother as we served while she was living. And I said to my mom, I said, I never want to be able to say, you know, Mom, I miss you and I want the world to know your name. So I want to do it while you're living. And, you know, now she's gone. And I just looked up and I said, Mom, the world's going to know your name. And that just made me happy, made my heart happy.
You know, she's looking down, smiling on you and all the work that all the people involved with Minnie's Food Pantry are doing. I mean, this is a legacy. And more importantly, you're living a purpose-driven life, and not everybody can say that. Have you ever thought about that? That you've got a purpose-driven life and you're able to get things accomplished for a worthy cause?
Chris, when I first started, no, I didn't. But I think it was maybe about 2 years ago, I was looking outside and there were lines of cars miles long. We had 600 volunteers that day. We were serving on Thanksgiving, and I'm running and running and running. And one of my friends pulled me in my office. There was a big window in front so I could see everybody. And she said, stop. And I was like, what? She said, stop and look outside. And when I looked outside, I said, okay. You know, I turned back around to go get some turkeys. And she said, no. You have to understand what you have created. And it was like, after I stopped and really was in the moment, I began to cry. And every day that I come in here, most of the time I'm crying because I'm so grateful that there used to be me in line trying to get a meal. And now under my leadership, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are being fed and millions of meals are being distributed. And my voice makes a difference in a room. And not very many people can say that, but, you know, this month, I'm going and I'm speaking at the East Texas Food Bank, where there's over 250 pantries that they have up underneath them, and they want me to share my story. It's moments like that where I really realized how blessed I am. All I wanted to do was be a voice for one other person because I had no voice for me. I was afraid to tell someone I needed a meal. And now I'm a voice for millions, and my voice is very loud, as you know. And so I'm grateful. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful to have been chosen for this time. I was really with speaking to Tony Robbins, and that's when I realized, Chris, this past year, the huge international mogul Tony Robbins, who
yes,
we all
he's
know
a
and
great
love.
Speaker. He's an exceptional yeah. speaker.
So imagine Tony Robbins calling you, right? Mm. And I'm like, and Tony is, he's very passionate about feeding the hungry because he was in the same situation, needing meals when he was a young man. And so for him to ask me to be a part of his panel, and he's trying to do this billion meal initiative, and said, Cheryl, you know, I need you to be a part, and I want you to be a part. Man, Chris, I hung up the phone with him, and now I have his cell number. And
look
and I'm
out.
Going to, yeah. I'm going to put that there. And I always do them plugs because it all came from a place of service.
Yes.
And I'm like, I could not have penciled all of the people that I've had the chance to interact with on a normal life. Right. But mm-hmm. because I chose to serve, they came into what I was doing. And I just, people like, well, how do you do this? When you live your life with the servant's heart mm-hmm. and you give what you want to receive, you get what you want.
Exactly.
I can't even say it enough to people. And I wrote down, I want to be on Tony Robbins' stage one day. He motivates me. I love this man. And I was talking to him last night, and he's like, Cheryl, I'm coming to Dallas. I want you to be, of course, you're going to be my special guest in Dallas. And let's see what we can do. And I'm just like, my brother. So, you know, he's coming November the 9th through the 12th. You ain't heard that from me, but people probably want to get a ticket ASAP.
Exactly.
But I'm just glad. I mean, God has just really blessed me just from feeding the hungry. That's what's crazy about all of it, just from feeding the hungry.
Like I said, it's a purpose-driven life. We're talking with Cheryl Jackson, the CEO and founder of Minnie's Food Pantry. And again, you've been doing this for 15 years. We've been friends, I think, longer than that. But the amazing,
longer than that.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I've been watching your journey, and I've always said forever, the journey is the reward. Success is not a destination. The journey is the reward. And especially if you love what you're doing, work isn't work. It's what you enjoy doing. And so can you talk about, again, you started from two cans of corn.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
a dream.
Sir. Yes, sir.
And I know there were highs and lows along the way. Can you talk about the point where you thought, I just can't do this? And I always want to bring that up because sometimes when people hear someone else's adversity, that makes them feel like, you know what? It's never the end unless I say it's the end. And they can feel you even better. Can you talk about maybe the one time where you said, I just can't?
Yeah. I think probably the strongest point, because there's not just one time, Chris,
mm-hmm.
when you are trying to help others, you know, everybody doesn't come and believe in your dream. People laughed at me when I even started to feed the hungry, saying there was nobody hungry. That's why everything I do is intentional. So I intentionally fed the first meal April Fool's Day. I said, okay, it's not a joke, I'm telling you. So I waited to April Fool's Day and said, the joke is going to be on you, because there are a lot of people that are hungry. And so as I started this journey, and again, I can't believe it's been 15 years, but the probably the most difficult time was when my mother died. My mother died suddenly April Fool's Day. Mm-hmm. And I just remember sitting in a board meeting, and I turned my phone over. And then when I turned it back over, I'd missed 41 calls, and they said, come home, hurry home. And they wouldn't tell me. When I lived across the street from my mom for 16 years, she was my best friend. Every day we talked, every day when I pulled up in my car, she'd be looking out her window. Some days I would go to her house, Chris, and I would lay in her lap and cry. And she would just say, baby, they're going to come. She was a minister. She would pray over me, and she would tell me, Cheryl, shut the place down. It's not worth it. I see what it's doing to your body, to your mind. You've honored me enough. And I'm like, no, mom, people need help. People need help. And she said, all right, you know, but the day that she died, I lost it all. when my father died, Chris, that's why I started Minis, because my dad had died and I was in a 3-year depression. And I told my mother, I said, "You're all I have left. I want the world to know your name." When my father died, my life was broken, but my mother was still there. You think of a glass and you break the glass, you can get some super glue and put it back together. When my mother died, my life was shattered. There was not one piece that you could put back together. It's like somebody took the best glass that I had, threw it up against the wall, and the pieces were all over the room. And I sat there and I was like, how was she snatched from me? You know, and I just told God, I said, I can't go on. And my sister came to me and she said, "Cheryl, I know you named this after mom." She said, "But this is a God thing. So many people need your help. You can't shut it down." I was literally planning to shut it down and on my mother's birthday and just say, "I've had enough. I can't do this anymore." And I remember meeting Roma Downey and Mark Burnett, creators, you know, Roma. And Roma Downey, I looked at her, and that was my first time coming out of the house. And after my mother had died, and I said, "My mother loved you." She said, "Oh, tell her I said thank you." And I just started crying. And I said, "She loved you and touched by an angel. She made me watch it. She literally," I said, "but she said you weren't acting. You love God." She said, "I do. Tell her I love her too. And give her a hug for me." And I just started crying. I said, "I can't." I said, "She passed away." I said, "And who will give me my hug? Who will be my angel?" Because my mother would wait on me on my birthdays and special days with her arms outside when I would walk out. And Roma Downey stood up and literally opened up her arm. And I was like touched by an angel. And I was crying in her arms. Mark Burnett came over and he hugged me. So we're in a 3-way hug. And they said, "Give me your card." I gave him my card. And on my birthday, they sent me $100,000 in memory of my mother. Wow. After that, Oprah heard about it. And I was sitting up there crying and saying, "God, if I'm supposed to keep going, give me a sign. Give me a sign." And I get this bing, like immediately. And I look at my phone and it's Oprah Winfrey saying, "I didn't know your mom passed away. I'm going to donate $100,000 in her name." And then we had our gala. Oh, you know, I'm a huge Mavs fan.
You know, thank you for asking me to emcee that gala, because that blew my mind. Yes,
you sure did. Didn't we have a good time?
We had a great time.
Good time, Chris.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that evening, Mark and the entire Dallas Mavericks came. And when I mentioned that Oprah gave the $100,000, then Mark Cuban gave $101,000. I was like, my man.
That was so crazy. You know? Can we break this down for a second? Because that blew my mind. I had never seen a check that big before in my life. Here I am emceeing this thing with Pat Smith. And she and I were up there on the stage, and the Dallas Mavericks team was there because it was during training camp. So the whole team came, and Mark was there, and then Mark disappeared. And and then Devin Harris said, "Here's a check from Mark." My eyes almost fell out of my head because it was a $101,000 check. I thought you were going to faint too.
I mean, I fell over. Remember, I fell over on the floor. I
was
like, "Oh my God." Yes. And it was just,
and Mark just disappeared. He just disappeared.
That's who he is. Mark Cuban is such a generous philanthropist in our community. So much, he's impacted so many people's lives, but he doesn't do it for his name to be mentioned.
Right.
As a matter of fact, if truth be told, and I told it at the gala, and Mark has asked me never to tell it, but he can't keep me quiet anymore. But when the storm came in 2009, every building that we had, the roof blew off, it collapsed, and I lost all of my food. And I was thinking to myself, who can help me? And the only person that I could think of was Mark Cuban. So I was emailing every email I could see. I didn't know him, but every email I could find on the internet, I was like, "Mark Cuban, please help. Mark Cuban, please help." And then the photographer, he was videotaping me actually, and he said, "Smile as though Mark Cuban gave you $10,000. I ran back to my computer and I said, "Mark, I don't have any food left." Every news channel was taping live from Minnie's food pantry.
Because it was the scene of the disaster.
It was. And then I said, "Mark, this man just said, smile as though you gave me $10,000. You've got to help me. I'm begging you." Not knowing if he had even seen any of these emails, because I'm getting them off of Google, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe about 20 minutes later, his assistant called with his credit card for $10,000.
Wow.
Mark saved Minnie's food pantry. I say this, and I lie to you not, We would not be here today. Minnie's Food Pantry would not be in existence if Mark Cuban does not write that check.
Wow.
We had nothing. We lost it all because we were just we were just a small little food pantry trying to help 100 people, 200 people at that time. And Mark came to the rescue. Now I'm going to fast forward. COVID hits. And we go from serving 4 days a week to 6 days a week, but open 7 days to pick up food. I go from needing 17 employees to 54 employees because all volunteers are gone. Nobody, all corporations shut down volunteer services, but people needed food. So volunteers go down, but we're now going from serving 5,000 people, 10,000 to upwards sometimes of 20 and 30,000 a month when COVID hits. And who pays these people's salary? It's Mark Cuban.
Wow.
And the Dallas Mavericks. Sent Marshall, I sent her an email and I was like, 911, I can't do this. The community, the Plano schools called and said, we have 16,000 school students at home because COVID shut down the schools. They have no meals. Can we count on Minnie's? And I said, yes. And you know what? I said, yes. And immediately started crying because I'm but one person. I had 61 boxes of cereal when they were doing the interview with me on Channel 4. And she said, you just told me you had 61 boxes of cereal, but you just told the school you're going to help 16,000 people. How are you going to do it? I said, I don't know. I said, this is God's deal. I can't tell you. I said, if it's supposed to happen, I said, I'm going to give until there is nothing left on my shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we ran out of anything, my mother's name was Minnie Bell. And we put a bell at the back and say, ring the bell. And Chris, I promise you, if we ran out of jelly, peanut butter, the bell would ring. And I swear, I said, my mother is just in God's ear saying, you cannot let my daughter go down. Send her the peanut butter, send her the cereal, whatever it was. We're out. The bell would ring.
Wow.
And then probably about the fourth or fifth time it happened, my entire staff just would start looking up and we'd all laugh. And some of us would shed tears because we knew Miss Bell, Miss Minnie Bell, she was up there and she was our heavenly angel. And so, and we were able to survive and we have survived.
It's amazing. Survived. Listen, the stories are just absolutely amazing. And like I said, it's all reflective of your journey of giving and your journey of empathy. And again, I can't say enough about how I'm so proud that you're my friend and you're such an exceptional person. So I have to also ask you this because, you know, this is the 21st century. It's 2023. And there's so much technology that people are either learning or is helping either reinvent their business or it's taken away from their business. Can you talk about how you've been able to use some technology to actually help even more people?
That's really good. As a matter of fact, we just partnered with Microsoft. Microsoft is a huge, huge part of Minnie's Food Pantry. We're putting together what we call, we started Minnie's Empowerment Center probably 8 years ago. Yeah. And so we were starting doing classes. We were literally not only are we serving people food, but the people that we serve food, these are the working poor. I would say they make an average of $10 to $16 an hour, but they have three kids at home. They had something help happen in their lives. Mm-hmm. Right. And so we said, how do we educate them? Even today, Chris, we just did a class with a lady who makes a lot of money on Etsy, right? And so people are saying, how do I get a side hustle where I can make an extra $200, $300, $500, whatever that looks like to pay my... Today, we did a class on just how do you make magnets? How do you make personal items? And so we had a standing room only room filled with people learning how to do that and creating their Etsy accounts so that they can make extra money. And so you have to come and see this. We have a new initiative. It's Minnie's boutique and the people that we serve when they come and do the classes, for instance, we do banking classes, then they get a free voucher to go shopping at our boutique to help them. And everything is now about learning. Yes, we give them meals and healthy meals. I mean, I gave away $115 steak last week. My partnerships with the Costco's and the Sam's and the Walmart's and Whole Foods and Central Markets, it is so powerful that people are crying when they drive off because we don't just give them a loaf of bread and pizza. We literally give them healthy meals. As I was walking in here, I was looking at the produce bag that they're giving out today. And it's avocados and it's lemons and it's limes and it's peaches. And it's everything that you and I buy, basil, cilantro, everything that we purchase at the stores, we've been blessed through our community partners and grocery stores to be able to give that to the people that need a meal. And that's what my dream was. So now we've got that part down real well. So now we said, well, what are we missing? We always said, feed just one. How about we teach just one?
Yes.
So that they can go from making $9 an hour to maybe 13 and 13 to maybe 17. And so even yesterday, I was talking to one of the corporate partners and they said, Cheryl, we have a lot of job openings. And I said, well, come do a job fair. Because in the past, right before COVID, we did a job fair with Amazon. We had people that walked in making 10 an hour. Amazon hired them making $15 an hour immediately and with benefits. And I had grown people crying, saying, I never thought that I could make this much money. And that's where we're going as yes. we move into the future. It is, let's give them a hand up. We want to pull them mm-hmm. out of the lines. My father was a pastor and he would quote the scripture that says, the poor you will have with you always. And then I added onto that scripture and I said, but it doesn't have to be the same people.
Right.
So if I can get this group right. of poor people out of the line at Minis and they can just donate $1, I can bring another set and I teach them the same thing. And so that is what we are championing. What are we going to teach these people that we serve so that they can get to the next level in their lives?
You know,
and they're excited about it.
Yes.
Oh my God.
It's an opportunity.
Yeah. And they don't get very many of it because people just look down on them. Mm-hmm. But these are people are my family. I was them and any one of us could be them at any given time.
Exactly.
So I'm just grateful. I'm grateful.
You know, you tell the story and it's so inspiring. That's why Tony Robbins wants you to speak, because you're so inspiring. And I remember yeah. when the pandemic was going on, you were talking about how there are a lot of people who are secretly hungry. Because yeah. they were embarrassed to say, you know, I live in a middle class home or a neighborhood. I lost my job. They got downsized or whatever, but I still have a family to feed. And they were too embarrassed to, quote unquote, go to the North Texas Food Bank, or they were too embarrassed to to ask other family members or neighbors for help. Could you tell some of those stories and some of those lives you've changed as well? Because in all seriousness, that's part of what's going on in today's world. It's the 21st century, but people, yes. even to this day, their jobs are changing. It's more and more of a gig economy. There are people who don't necessarily want to work at a company for 25 years and retire, but they still have to have needs to be met. And I like the fact that you're going to try to educate them or show them other opportunities, as well as make them know that they're not alone. Not everybody has it all together. And there are times in people's lives where they might have a hard time putting things together and putting food on the table.
You're right. You're right. You know, I have on video some of the stories that would just bring chills to your body, because one of the most stories that touched me was a lady who was on my board. She was on my board of directors when I first started Minis. This woman was a senior executive making six figures at a corporation. When I needed my first big 24-foot truck, she was inspiration in helping me attain that, and her corporation bought it for me. Now, this woman, I'm literally dreaming, Chris, and I see her, and I can't tell if she's laughing or crying. And I hadn't talked to her in a minute, and so I just called her, and I said, how are you doing? And then she started with the same sound. I said, are you laughing? What are you doing? And she goes, no, I'm crying. And I said, well, why are you crying? I said, I've seen you in my dreams with the same sound. And she said, I'm about to lose my house. I'm about to lose my car. My lights will get turned off. She said, COVID has taken every savings that I had. And she said, I don't know what to do. We have no food. And I'm like, wait a minute. Are you telling me? And like, I start crying with her. And I said, but you served on my board. You know that if you need food, you can come to Minis. We got you. And she said, but I know there are people worse off than me. So I didn't want to come in line. And that's what people think. But here's what I say. If you need something as basic as a meal, then you're on the same level. Even if you're in a big house, if you still need a meal, you need a meal. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, I said, please come in. And I called some of my other partners and I told them about her story. And I said, Minis only does food, but will you help me and give me a gift card so that I can give to her to pay her utilities? And some of my corporate partners personal partners, they came through so that I was able to help her get back on her feet, get her lights to where they weren't turned off. And she walked in my office and she just fell over. She's since gone back into corporate America. She's back on her feet. But, you know, during COVID and always, we've always said this, it's okay not to be okay.
Right.
People feel like, yeah, people feel
like it's not permanent. It's not permanent. You can solve it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. When Oprah Winfrey came and spoke at our gala, the most powerful words she said is, we know something happened. Nobody wakes up and says, you know, I just want to go to a food pantry. You didn't see a person who owns a Lexus with brand new tags on. And people started saying, well, why would they be here? And I said, do you really think that the person who just bought this Lexus wanted to sit in line with all these other people for almost an hour to get a meal? And they would just go, oh, thank you for saying that. They would always come back and apologize to me.
Yeah,
that's all it is. And I said, so please, when we open up at Minnie's, we always say, don't judge. When we open up at Minnie's, we always say, consider yourself blessed because you could be on the outside of these doors needing help. And I think we just paint the picture so that people understand that it could be your loved one that's here yesterday. So
call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Treat people how you would want me to treat your loved one if they come tomorrow. And I think that's what's made us so special. It's because when you stand on these grounds, it's a ground full of love. And my mother used to say, hope means having only positive emotions and helping other people eat. And when we walk on these grounds, we walk on a ground of hope and love. And I hope you love more than you've ever loved every single day. That's what we say about it.
That is so fantastic. Is there anything else you want anyone to know about what's going on with Minnie's Pantry coming up over the next month or two, or the coming this summer, or there's any words of wisdom you want to pass along to everybody before we have to let you go?
No, I just like to say, first of all, Chris, thank you. You know, we've been doing this for 15 years. We've known each other longer than that. But, you know, sometimes you wonder if your friends or your colleagues will support you. And you've been such a strong supporter. Whatever I need, you brought the Mavericks into our organization. You talked to St. Marshall and she came in and my conference room is with the Mavs logo on there because you speak our name. And so this is a message to say thank you to everyone, including you, that have spoken our names over the last 15 years, made it a quarter or $1,000, whatever you gave so that we will be standing on these grounds as one of the number one leading charities in North Texas. You gave so that we could be on Good Morning America and they see our stuff. You gave so we could be on Steve Harvey and Ellen and all these other shows. And we say thank you. I just ask for you to go to minniesfoodpantry.org because we need people who want to teach classes. We're looking for people who want to teach classes and help people get to another level. The Etsy class that we taught, one of our supporters saw it and said, we want to come and I want to teach and help. If you have a heart to teach and help people, reach out to us and let us know and tell us what your thoughts are and be a part of something. Just, it's an experience. Be a part of this Minnie's experience. And we're thankful to be a part of this North Texas. And thank you for having me on your show again.
And thank you because you are now recognized by the state of Texas officially. And your mom's name is in the legislature. Your grandmother, it's just, it's there. And that's just another step in the story because the journey continues. Cheryl, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It is my pleasure. And I hope to see you soon, my friend. Thank you.
And joining us right now is one of my favorite people here in Dallas-Fort Worth. She is a community organizer and education advocate, Miss Vandella Menifee. How are you doing, Vandella?
I am absolutely wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad I caught up with you and you're actually in town. You've been like traveling all over the world lately. Can you just quickly say the different places you've traveled since we last talked last fall?
Wow.
And then we'll get into why, but I want to hear where first.
Let me see. Where have I been? Gosh, I was supposed to go to Africa in December, but I guess it's Ghanaian. Where I was supposed to go, they didn't get my visa approved until the week before I was supposed to leave. And at that time, the ticket was almost $10,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. And so I ended up not going there. But Princess Karen Chapman, I'm going to Morocco with her this summer.
Okay.
Because I wasn't able to go to the other trip with them. But yeah, I'm excited about, you know, supporting her and her organization. It's I mean, when I tell you that opportunities like everywhere has been presented to me is truly an understatement.
It's a blessing.
Just by volunteering, yes.
It's just by volunteering. So tell us about this Morocco trip real quick. I mean, not real. I keep saying real quick. No, go ahead and tell us how this came to being. Because, again, we love you because you are a community organizer, an education advocate, and you're always volunteering to help things. And somehow or another, you have had an incredible journey along the way because you want to give.
Yes, yes, I do want to give. Karen Chapman is Prince Sori's granddaughter, and she represents their organization. And so she actually went, and some of her members of her team, they actually went to Africa because they were doing a passage and a recognition of him where the slave trade actually, where they left was like the tunnel of no return.
Oh, okay.
So they were all there. I didn't get to go because my trip was being sponsored by their organization. And because I didn't get my visa approved until like that Monday, and they were leaving on that Friday evening, it was incredible.
Yeah.
Yes. And she said not only that, she said the accommodations on the plane, I think the flight is like 20 something hours. She said, I would not want you to be separated from us. We're in one part of the plane, you're in another part of the she's like, we're gonna take you to Morocco when we go. So I'm going to Morocco with them. I think it's in June, she indicated. But yeah, she's working on that trip. She's going over there, I think, for something to do with her foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I'm excited about it.
Well, let's tell everybody some more about your journey, because we've had you on the show before. You started out in the criminal justice system. Can you tell everybody what your career occupation was at first? Because I think this is an amazing story as well.
Yes, I always tell people that I was released from prison in 2012, which means that I've been retired 10 years. I started out I retired from the Federal Bureau of Prisons. I started out as a correctional officer at the federal prison in Talladega, Alabama, as a correctional officer. And then I transferred to the penitentiary in Atlanta. I was there for 10 years as a case manager and assistant case management coordinator. I was promoted to the community corrections manager over halfway houses for the Southeast region in Atlanta. Did that for 3 years. And I was promoted to the Atlanta regional office as WITSEC coordinator. And I was responsible for all the witness protection cases that was in the institutions within the Southeast region.
Slow down right there, because I've been meaning to ask you this. So you said the witness protection program. So you're saying when we see on the movies, somebody goes into the witness protection program and they change their identities, you were in charge of some of that?
Yes, sir. And it is what you see on television. It's the baseline of the story is more than likely true, but they have to embellish it for the movie.
Oh, okay.
But yes, they get the storylines from people who have actually committed crimes, and their name, identity, and all of that have been changed. And sometimes they have to even change the identity of the family members because of the high profile
cases.
Yeah, it's a real thing. So
was that stressful?
It at times, yes, it can be, especially when you get a call and there's a threat against either someone at the institution or the entire institution, because that person has, their identity has been compromised, and you have to provide safety for the staff and the inmates at the institution to get this person moved. Yes, it can be very stressful.
Wow. So you've, like I said, you've been with the correctional systems for years and years and years. Were
yeah,
you ever?
Almost 26 years.
So I've been meaning to ask you this as well. Were you ever at a facility where there was a break, a prison break, or somebody escaped?
No. Well, anytime a prison is unaccounted for, that's considered an escape. Even when they're in the community in the halfway house,
mm-hmm.
if they are not accounted for 24 hours, like literally 24 hours a day, 7 days a week until they're actually released, they're considered on escape status. And when I was in the halfway house, when I was the community corrections manager, I had to put people on escape status all the time. And the Marshal Service would go and find these people and bring them back into custody.
Because they took off that ankle bracelet? They took off that ankle bracelet.
Well, no, we didn't have the ankle. You have the ankle bracelet when you're on supervision.
Oh.
When you're in custody, if you go on a furlough, mm-hmm. if I approve you to go on a furlough and you're supposed to be at this specific address, if they call and do a check and they can't find you within 2 hours, if we've notified you that you need to be report back, we put you on escape status. And some people show back up, and then some people don't. And then some people get prosecuted for an additional 5 years on their sentence.
Mm.
But I've never been at an institution at a time when we've had people walk out the front door. This person posed as a staff member. There was a new person sitting at the desk. And the person walked out as a staff member, but I had already left. That incident happened.
You've got so many stories
in Atlanta.
You've got so many stories. I'm telling you, have lived an interesting life, and you're not even that old. I'm not.
I just celebrated my 58th birthday.
No
December
way.
29th. Yes, and I had such an incredible birthday party. It was I was celebrating my 58th birthday, and it was a tea party with a purpose.
You invited me to that, but I was out of town with my family. I remember that.
You were out of town, yes. But thank you so much for allowing me to mention you as my list of supporters and your donation. I appreciate that.
I really am.
But we ended up raising almost $15,000 that we have been giving to nonprofit organizations who actually were nominated as an organization that was changing lives in the community. As a matter of fact, we just gave a donation to Unity Unlimited on Tuesday.
Great. Yes. That is fantastic.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Dr. Opal Lee's foundation.
Yes. She is the grandmother of Juneteenth.
The grandmother of Juneteenth. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we gave a donation to their organization towards their upcoming Juneteenth pageant.
That is
so
fantastic.
It my birthday party with a party with a purpose has actually helped me to continue to help nonprofit organizations change lives.
So you do a lot of different things. Again, your biggest thing that you love is education, because you want to take care of the kids
yes,
as well.
Sir.
Can you talk about what's a typical week for you? Because I know you got the daytime of the calendar, and it's always booked, and that's why I'm glad you're able to stop down and visit with us a little bit. Because believe it or not, you are an inspiration, and you don't even know it. Because there are people who feel like you, and they might think, oh, I can't do it, or how do I even begin to do this? And you just decided when you were going to retire, you're just going to just jump in, just make a big splash.
Yeah, I did, and because I was 47, 3 days later, I turned 48 when I retired, so I was relatively young,
mm-hmm.
and so with my kids being in school, they wanted me to be at their schools more, and that's how I really got started, and I don't go out seeking opportunities. People call me for the opportunity, and that's how I get involved, and it allows me to be involved in some incredible with some incredible people. Like over the past month, actually about a couple weeks ago, I was a friend of mine named Arnold Green. He's a corporate executive. He's actually in Chicago now, but our kids went to school together, and he just started an organization called the A-League, and it's a sports management firm, because he realized that there are so many up-and-coming professional athletes who don't have the team that they need around them financially, mentally, giving back to the community, and asked me if I would get involved, you know, with his organization and just helping them with a roadmap how to get their athletes back and giving back to their community and being advocates from the communities that they're in.
Yeah, because you know what? A lot of athletes have foundations. They might have a big signing bonus, or they might have a big contract, and they always have it in their heart. They want to take care of the people that help them along the way, and they have a foundation, but they don't know exactly what to do with it.
They don't know what to do. So the A League is what it's called, his organization. He is, I mean, to know Arnold, he is such a humble young man. And he graduated from Cornell University, and he has worked of the largest Ivy League, some of the largest corporations in the country. And that's how he ended up in Chicago. And it's funny that we were in Texas together, and I was born and raised in Chicago, and now he's there, and we're always talking about all the things, you know, that he's done, and he'll send me pictures of stuff in Chicago. He was like, how could you leave this city? I said, wait until the wintertime.
With that hawk, I heard about the hawk. I used to work with Tom Joyner, who was flying back and forth from Dallas to Chicago, and he would always talk about that hawk.
The hawk is for real. Yes. And you know, he has Arnold Green, he tells me, don't call me Mr. Green, that's my father. But Arnold has over 30 years of experience in HR and working with these large corporations, and they love him.
Okay,
he is
great.
Truly a game changer. He is. So I met him and his wife, Donnie, through the PTA. I actually recruited them out of the parking lot to be part of the PTA, and the rest is history. Our kids actually graduated from high school the same year in 2020.
This is amazing. Mm-hmm. Again, you've had such an interesting life, and it's all because you find a passion, and your passion is what you do, and it has opened up so many doors for you. Which is, again, I was saying this earlier to my previous guest, Cheryl Jackson. It's a purpose-driven life. You enjoy what you do, so it's not even work.
I do. It's not. And have you heard of the XFL Arlington Renegades?
Of course.
Okay.
The Rock came into town last month when they started it off. Dwayne Johnson, yes.
Yes. So I had the opportunity of working with them with their on-field performance by recruiting students to be part of their opening day field event.
Okay.
So I was actually at Spark Arlington. I am part of Spark Arlington volunteer and resident. So the people, Spark Arlington is a co-working community in the old Rangers, which is Choctaw Stadium now. So the XFL has a suite there. So just meeting people, and they was like, do you know of any high school or student that can be a part of our field day event? I'm like, sure. Sent a couple messages. I said, how many people do you need? He's like, we'd like about 200 kids. I was like, okay. I said, let me see what I can do. Reached out to a couple of schools, sent them an email. We had almost 200 kids on the field that day. It was such an incredible event. And some of these kids had never left Lancaster.
Oh, okay. So you reached out to Lancaster. I love
Lancaster.
The Tigers.
Grand Prairie, Arlington, Fort Worth.
Okay.
All the people that I knew in different ISDs who would have an opportunity to bring their kids.
And do something they have never done before.
And be on the field.
Yeah.
And say that they were on the field with The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
It really is. So, that's something they'll remember the rest of their lives.
for the rest of, every time they see him on television, they're going to remember that they were on the field with him.
You know what's wild?
Yes.
You were telling me a couple of days ago that you were part of, or you went to see a screening. Now, let me share this with our listeners.
Okay.
One of my favorite organizations is the Cowboys of Color Rodeo. And the founder
sir.
The Cowboys of Color Rodeo is my good friend Cleo Hearn. He is a cowboy, a real cowboy from back in the day. And he actually went to grade school with my mother up in Oklahoma. His grandson is a pitcher for the Texas Rangers, Taylor Hearn. And his family, they're all cowboys. And he's had this rodeo, and they've been on the circuit for years and years and years. And you said that they had the documentary screening, and you got to go to. Please, because movie watching is a sport. Please tell us about the documentary and the screening and how you got to be a part of that, because this is a great story as well.
Okay. When I tell you that, I tell people that I am truly blessed beyond measures, because I don't really know how all of this stuff, it just comes to me. So the Coy Poitier, which is, he's related to Sidney Poitier.
Mm-hmm.
The late, great Sidney Poitier. Yes, sir. The late, great.
One of the greatest actors of all time. The first black actor to get an Academy Award. Male actor.
Yes, sir. So Coy is from Florida. They moved to Texas. When he moved to Lancaster, he said he had never, ever in his life seen black cowboys with stagecoach horses and all of this. So he was in film school. So he had to do a project. He ended up wanting to do it about these black cowboys that he had been seeing in his community. That's how he connected with the Hearn family.
Mm-hmm.
So he did this screenplay, and that's how it became the movie. So I met Coy because he sits on the Department of Agriculture as a board member for the state of Texas. So I have been trying to get into urban farming. So he was a part of a Zoom call, Zoom presentation, and we just started talking. I don't even know how we started talking about cowboys and all of this. And then he was like, well, you know, I did a project with the Hearn family. I grew up in Chicago just learning as much as I could about Mr. Cleo Hearn, because I was probably the only black person in Chicago that wore cowboy boots.
That's different in Chicago.
It's different in Chicago. And I was just fascinated by his story. And so just to know that he was that close, he was talking about the movie. It was, so we were trying to plan it for Black History Month, and our dates just never, they just never coincided, because I had some deaths in my family, and then they had other commitments, because Black History is such a big time. So we ended up having it on March, this past Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We had three members from the Hearn family that attended. We had Mr. Tiny, who, this blew my mind, who was the Ringling Brothers Tiny Man. And he is now part of the Cowboys of Colors as their cowboy on stilts.
Okay.
And I was like, I have seen you at least three times in the Ringling Brothers circus.
Yeah, he's a legend himself.
I got to meet him in person, and they had books and they had pictures, and we had the panel, and then we talked about the movie. It was incredible. And Spark Arlington actually allowed us to have the event in their space. So it was such a beautiful event. Everybody loved it. We had food sponsors, drink, beverage sponsors, and it all came together. And now I am truly a fan. And then with learning the Dallas, it's the women's football team. What are they? Is it the Dallas Elite? Arlington Elite, Texas Elite?
Yes, they've been around for a little while. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've never lost a game. So on Sunday, the XFL, in recognition of Women's History Month, they had a her special day in recognition of Women's History. So the Texas Elite owners, some of the players all came out. They had a pre-game event. I attended and they were on the field. Now, I didn't do all the practice. I told them I was still in my pearls. So I was going to take pictures. I said, I can't afford to get injured.
You did not want to get tackled. You said, not today.
No, sir. No, sir. Not to, no. So I was on the field enjoying everything. So the one of the coaches, come to find out, he is the coach for the Texas Elite. So we start talking. I invited him to my event for the Cowboys of Colors. Come to find out, he did Taylor Hearn's first baseball camp.
Look out.
Is that not crazy?
We continued to talk.
I said, where do you live? We live in the same city down the street from each other.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
This is small world. See, this is what happens when you get out, when you're out and about, when you're involved with your community. You just find out there's like ties and like minds. And again, work doesn't become work. It's a pleasure to do what you do.
Exactly.
And you connect people, and then big things happen, like kids get to meet The Rock or get to be on the field with him.
Yes.
Or you get to find out more about the Cowboys of Color Rodeo. And by the way, congratulations again to the great Cleo Hearn, because his life is legendary, and he's also a member of the Texas Black Sports Hall of Fame. And I mean, there's so many things about him. Like I said, the smallest world about it. I've been knowing him all of my life, because he went to grade school with my mother up in Oklahoma. So I've been knowing him forever.
When I said that, I told him, I was like, I am doing an interview with Mr. Chris Arnley. I was like, oh, yeah, we know it. There, I mean, you have left an impact on their lives. When I mentioned your name, it was like the clouds open up and it was a ray of sunshine just by mentioning your name. So you have an impact on lives as well. And I am truly honored to be on your show.
Well, like I said, I'm glad to have you, because sometimes your stories are inspirational to others, and they might walk in your footsteps, or they might want to meet you, or they may open a door where everybody, you know, wins. They benefit from the fact that they know each other. They do things together. That's what community is all about. That's what makes a better living. So what have you got?
Yes, sir.
So what have you got coming up over the next few weeks or the next month? Because like I said, your stories are so fascinating. It's like walking in your shoes, because I just grin every time I talk to you, because you're always doing such good, wonderful, and cool things. What's coming up?
Thank you. Coming up is, I'm an XFL Arlington Renegades ambassador. So the city of Grand Prairie had our big event. It's a citywide cleanup. I think it was this past Saturday. And they had like over 1,600 volunteers. Yes.
Got to keep it clean.
We have to keep it clean. Yes.
Speaking of Grand Prairie, I got to give a shout out to them, because that city is really growing, and they got this epic West, epic East, epic Central. They got the chicken and pickle, all that down there, and the epic water park. People don't know, man. Grand Prairie off of 161 and I-20, it is booming, let alone Joe Pool Lake and all
that. It is booming, yes. Thanks to our mayor, Ron Jensen. He has a vision for our city. And when I tell you that he is involved in our council, is an understatement. It really is. And you know, our city councilman, Junior Izanu, at one time was the youngest city councilman in the country.
Is that
right? He was 22 years old. Junior Izanu was 22 years old when he was elected.
That's fantastic.
That's fantastic. And to say that he's the city councilman for our city, he's actually at large. So he's like he's a council over the entire city. And we have another, he's for District 8. We have another city councilman that's over the other district.
Okay, so you had the big cleanup in Grand Prairie. I don't want to cut you off. You were saying what else is going on.
Yes, so the XFL, they were going to have some of the players come and be a part of my team.
Okay.
So they changed their workout schedule, so they weren't able to participate. So they want to reschedule it. So we're going to have another cleanup so that they can be a part of it next month. Yes. So I'm going to have the XFL be a part of, we adopted a street. It's Robert Vandella, William and Richard family and friends. So we adopted a street that we keep clean in the city of Grand Prairie. So we're going to have another cleanup day so that they can be a part of it. And I was just honored that they were willing to do that. So
that is fantastic. That. Mm-hmm. And you've already blocked off a couple of weeks to run off to Morocco. Are you going to go to the casinos and hang out like James Bond and Iron Man and all the Avengers who go to the casinos over there?
Yes.
I'm so impressed. And again, you have done it all, because like I said, full circle, you were part of the corrections department, and you say when you got out of prison, you say that on purpose,
yes,
don't you?
Well,
I want to get some of the reactions. What are some of the reactions when you say that? Do people just clutch their purses and grab their,
yes,
their waistbands and say, oh, wait a minute?
They do. And I tell people, they're like, so where'd you meet your husband? I said, in jail. And they look.
See, this is why you get things done, because you got that personality.
It's like, you met your husband? I'm like, yes, you can find love in jail. And then they have this strange look, like, okay, shoot. And especially when my husband is around. My husband, Robert, is such an incredible man.
Well, Vandella, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I can't say this enough. You are a wealth of information, but more importantly,
what you do
is an inspiration. And that's why I like hearing your stories, because it inspires people.
It makes all kinds of people think
that they can make a difference.
The opportunity to be able to change lives and just make a better life for people, better living, just the quality of life, it makes a difference. And I want to, it doesn't require you to physically do anything. It's just the opportunity to be able to make the connection with the people who have the ability to change the lives and just be a part of it. It's not me.
That's right.
It's just me knowing who to contact.
Vandella, thank you so much. Again, we're going to have you on after you get back from Morocco. Will that work?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I am always honored to be your guest.
All right. And thank you all for joining us on Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a huge impact here in North Texas. I'm Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.